Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to Journal of Radio Audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak on the things in God's Word, and if any time you have a question or a comment, or maybe a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to study on the program, feel free to contact us. You can do so at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Let's read, and I hope you have your Bibles, and always encourage you to do so. So if you have them, please turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1, let's begin our reading. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. The account of sin that led Adam and Eve to be cast out of the Garden of Eden is the first tragedy that we have recorded in the Scriptures. Much of the religious world, on the other hand, has taken the real tragedy of this event and suggests that its effects on the descendants of the first couple were much different than what the Bible teaches. And I believe that this misrepresentation also significantly affects how that we view sin, its consequences, and the remedy that God has offered for sin. What does the Bible say about Adam's sin? God told the first couple not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We see that back in Genesis 2, and Eve quotes it here in the verses that we read in Genesis 3. The serpent then tempts Eve, and she eats of the tree, and she gives to Adam as well. That's what we've just read in Genesis 3. When this happened, they received the consequences of their own nakedness. They become aware of it, and they tried to cover themselves, as verse 7 of Genesis 3 read. The Lord then confronted them and assigned punishments to them. The serpent was assigned to crawl upon his belly, as verse 8 through 15 speaks of in Genesis 3. The woman was given pain in childbirth, as verse 16 points out. The man was consigned to work in order to live, in verses 17 through 19. So the punishment imposed upon the man and the woman were passed down to all of their posterity as a consequence of this sin. And because of Adam's sin, they were also cast out of the garden. That deprived them of access to the tree of life, as we see recorded in Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24. Since all of Adam's descendants must also live outside of Eden, then we are all likewise deprived of access to the tree of life. But Paul makes mention of, in two places, of Adam and the effects of Adam's sin. One of those we find, and if you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. And let's begin reading at verse 12. Romans chapter 5, beginning with the 12th verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offenses, as also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You see, in the context of demonstrating the sinfulness of mankind and our need for redemption through the gospel, Paul compares what Jesus did and its effect with what Adam did and its effect. Paul declares plainly there in verse 12, death passed upon all because all have sinned. So Adam set the example. Adam made sin possible, just as Jesus has made salvation possible. So in Paul's illustration here in Romans 5, we see that Adam's sin did not automatically condemn everyone, any more than Jesus' righteous act automatically saves everybody. See, both, whether to sin or whether to be saved, are choices, choices that everyone have to make. The other occasion in which Paul spoke of Adam is found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, we see that Paul is focusing on the resurrection and upon physical death. Let's begin reading at verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he has put all rule and authority and power under his feet. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So again, Paul is focusing on the resurrection and physical death. Adam's sin resulted in all of his descendants being subject to death because they were cut off from the tree of life. Jesus' resurrection resulted in the fact that one day all will be resurrected. So we have a question to ask and to answer. Can sin be inherited? In the law of Moses, we find in the book of Deuteronomy, in the 24th chapter, notice what he says in verse 16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So we see that the law taught that fathers could not be put to death for the sins of their children, and vice versa. This was followed during the history also of the Israelites. We read, for instance, in the book of 2 Kings, there in chapter 14, at what verse 6 says, But the children of the murderers he slew not, according unto that which is written in the law of Moses. Wherefore the Lord commanded, saying, The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. And then, too, over in the book of 2 Chronicles, here's what we read in chapter 25 and in verse 4. But he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. And then when we look at the prophet Ezekiel, we see that during the time of the Babylonian captivity, and that many Jews felt as if they were being held accountable for the sins of their ancestors. But we find, however, the statement made in Ezekiel chapter 18. Look with me as we begin reading with verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we see the Lord here rebuking the Israelites for using this proverb, and went on to explain that it's each individual that bears his or her own sin. And then in verse 20 of Ezekiel 18, it says, the son shall not bear the guilt of the father. So the Lord's rebuke of the Jews through Ezekiel makes it very clear that the guilt of sin cannot be passed on to one's descendants. So the Bible teaches that Jesus, nevertheless, was a descendant of Abraham. We see this in the genealogy of Luke, in Luke the 3rd chapter, and we find that he shared the same nature that was common to mankind in Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18. So the Bible also teaches that Jesus, however, was without sin, Hebrews 4, verse 15. Now the point is this, if Jesus was a descendant of Adam and yet was free of sin, it is clear that Adam's sin is not inherited by his posterity. But you know, there are many in the religious world that teach that all human beings are born guilty of Adam's sin and therefore stand condemned before God because of their inheriting the sin of Adam. And as a result, there are other false teaching. The false teaching about infant baptism, that claim that washes away original sin. But Jesus taught that children possesses the nature and the character of really what we as citizens of the kingdom of heaven need to possess in Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. So could this be the case if children came into the world guilty of sin? Certainly not. And some, expanding upon this false idea of original sin, have taught that Adam's sin has given man a sinful nature, which can only sin, and therefore, unless forced to do otherwise by the Holy Spirit. And so this popular translation, known as the New International Version, reflects a bias toward this false doctrine in its first edition. Frequently did they translate the word flesh to mean sinful nature. So the Bible teaches that our fleshly nature can choose either good or evil. The flesh may be said to be weak, but it cannot be considered inherently sinful. Friends, we appreciate your time, and we see that our time is gone. Tune in with us tomorrow, and we hope that you will. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and I return you back to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.